Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
Yep, sup, welcome to the show.
Talking baseball.
Talking baseball. It's a baseball day. Look, you got your hat, I got my shirt.
But it's such a depressing year for us.
I know.
Like, dude, really bad. Like, Astros bad.
Oh, you were at the Topes game last night. I was going to say, did you see the Yankees game? We were down by one. The bases were loaded. This new kid, Green, hits a shot into the outfield. Guy catches it. Our other guy on third, who I don't know because we're all nobodies at this point because
all
everybody's injured.
Yeah.
Hunter. It was Hunter on third. He runs in and... boom, yes, we tie the ball game. Oh, wait, they check out. He went early and, you know, inning ending, even though they we were just tied and bases were loaded. And so she went out and it went nuts after that. And on further replays over and over and over, totally did not go early.
Dude.
We ended up losing like 14-7. It just got really bad after that. Soshi was in a bad mood. It was terrible. It was
of course they were.
What was that? No, man. Chris Nelson. Chris Nelson was on third. That's his name.
I wonder how many umpires get stabbed. I wonder what the ratio is.
It's been an interesting week, actually. They were talking about that. Umpires and like
and
that
stabbing?
Authority people. Oh. The authority and like kicking people out of the game. Two nights ago, Yu Darvish for the Rangers was pitching a perfect game. And... threw an amazing strike down the middle, strike three, to it would have ended the seventh inning, and the umpire just kind of stared, and Pierzynski's like, bro, hello? So they waited, next call, ball four, walks to break up his perfect game in the seventh, and
oh
the catcher
gosh.
Went nuts. He was thrown out of the game, but it's like, and so then the umps, yeah, umps are going crazy, man.
Dude.
It's a crazy world we live in.
It's messed up. It's because they don't make as much money, and I think they feel bad. They're like,
yeah.
505-338-3700
is the phone number. Shock Therapy Live. We are lack of producer today. We're very short-handed.
Why isn't she in there?
She's got a whole show going on this afternoon. She's preparing for it, and it's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, man.
We're going to hit it up. It's Shock Therapy Live. 505-338-3700. You can also send us anonymous questions, studio@mystaticradio.com. Let's kick it off with the phone call. Hello?
Hey, this is Martha again.
Hey, Martha.
This is not really a shock therapy question.
That's okay.
I forgot y'all were doing that. I'm in the East Mountains, so I had it on a sister station because of the... I can't pick y'all up.
Yeah,
I just got to tell you how good our God is. Y'all were talking about weddings.
Yeah.
There was a wedding this weekend somewhere else, Illinois or something. A bride had been in a car wreck 7 years ago, had not been able to walk. She vowed she would walk on her wedding day. Her fiancé had never seen her walk. When they opened the door, she was standing and walked down her aisle.
Wow,
that's awesome.
Is that not awesome?
That's an incredible story.
That's the best wedding story ever.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I love your heart, Martha. That's awesome.
I just wanted to call because you were talking about wedding, crazy wedding stuff this morning. So.
That's right.
What if I did the opposite? It's like, hey, you've always seen me walk, and I come out, I'm crawling.
What?
I don't know.
Just like, or cartwheels or
just
something
changed
weird.
It up.
Yeah, changed it up.
Not
all
as
right.
cool.
All
but.
Right, Martha, thanks for the call. Yeah, we were talking about weddings on the morning show because this woman was getting married and she didn't know what to do because she was a dance instructor. She had 74 students, didn't want to single out her favorite students or anything. So she had 6 bridesmaids already from like, you know, her sister and close friends and knew that, you know, some of her dancers wanted to be in the wedding, didn't know what to do. So she ended up inviting all 74 students. She had 80 bridesmaids.
Were they all girls?
80, yeah. All bridesmaids.
What did the husband do? I mean,
I have no idea. I just saw the photo and it was just 80 bridesmaids.
He just goes to a firehouse. Hey, I need a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Come with me.
I don't have 80 friends. I don't have 80 acquaintances. Like, yeah.
I'd like send out a tweet. Hey, if you want to be in my wedding,
yeah.
tweet me back. The first 80 people that retweet this get to be in my wedding.
It's unbelievable.
The first 80 reposts of this picture that tag at Nate Heitzig at the NLA.
Steve Owen, Pastor Nate Heitzig with you. And I actually got a text question this morning. I forgot. I got sent something this morning for Shock Therapy Live. A good friend who said, hey, man, I actually had talked to a pastor about this in the past. I have two sons. They're in their 20s. They're digging their heels in big time about going to church, and it's currently breaking this dad's heart. He said, do you guys have any suggestions to lure slash entice them to come into church with me?
To lure and entice friends?
I know. Right? No, sons. These are kids that are in their 20s now, so it's tough because when your kid's like in your home and living with you, it's one thing because it's like, hey, as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You're going to come to church with me. But I'm assuming these kids probably don't live at home. They're in their 20s now.
I think you can find a church. Like, let me just use Calvary, for instance. Calvary is doing things, and we're trying to change things that will appeal to a younger generation and a younger crowd.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing we like to tell people is that, you know, if you come to our worship experience, it's going to be exciting. It's not going to be boring. You're not going to sit there. And it's probably going to, if you've never been to a church, it's going to change your expectations of what you think church is going to be.
Yeah.
You'll go to it and it won't feel like church to you. You know, it'll be something that will challenge your expectations. So I would maybe try to encourage them, especially like the Lobo Theater. We have Renovate that meets there on Thursday nights, and we have Calvary Knob Hill that meets there on Sunday mornings. And with those, we like to say, you know, it's going to church without feeling like you're at a church. You know, you're in the theater. It feels different. It feels more like you're at a concert or kind of like a club. But it, at the same time, you're going to get the word preached verse by verse, line upon line. And so, you know, I encourage you to maybe encourage them and try to get them to go to a church that maybe doesn't feel churchy to them. Maybe they don't like that idea of churchy. They like something a little bit different.
Churchy.
So,
I like that.
I don't know.
Yeah,
what
no,
would you say?
I hear what you're saying. Well, it's tough because looking at the situation, you're right. They're in their 20s, and so you can't as easily, you know, say, hey, I'm your pops. You're going to listen to me. You're going to do what I say because now you're out on your own and you're in your 20s. And I would definitely encourage in that way. My mom, she just had to keep praying for me. And so my first thought is, man, give it to the Lord in prayer. Give it to the Lord in prayer. Pray for your children every single day. Any opportunity you have with the breath in your lungs, pray for your children. My mom never gave up praying for me. She just didn't.
Yeah.
And it wasn't my mom and it wasn't a family member that ended up getting me back into church, if you will. It was just a good friend. I met a guy and he didn't prejudge my tattoos and my situation. And I was, you know, man, had a girlfriend that I was not living appropriately with. I was just in a really bad place. And that dude just loved on me and kept inviting me to church. Dude, come on. Come check out my church. I promise it's different. And like you said, if you can find a church that's different, like what Calvary's doing right now, invite him. And that friend really impacted me because I finally said, you know what, I'm going to go check it out. And the people there were incredible. I wasn't prejudged when I walked through the door. The people were kind and were stoked that I was there. And I had to get involved in other areas. There was like a card night and we would play card games and I just wanted to hang out and have more fellowship with the people.
Yeah.
And so you really want to find a place where you can get involved and not necessarily just a service, but man, maybe if there's a small group, a community group or whatever you want to call it, that you can get involved in as well. Fellowship is key and you find those like-minded people and you're like, hey, this is pretty great. And they all have this love for Jesus, and they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what it took for me. My mom just prayed and prayed and prayed.
Now, what if the kids aren't Christians? They don't love Jesus. And, you know, again, for them, it's not about finding other people who are cool that are Christians. It's just, I don't want to be around Christians in general.
Right. Well, that was me for the longest time.
Okay.
That was me for the longest time because I grew up in a Christian home. I gave my life to Christ when I was 6 years old. And, as I got to mid school, as I got to high school, as I got to college and made some really ridiculously bad choices, but at the time thought, yeah, but this is how I want to live my life. And, all you're going to do is thumb squash me and tell me how awful I am and how I'm going to hell. Why would I want to be a part of that? I walked away, and mostly because anytime I was around a Christian friend, I was convicted because of the way I was living, and I didn't want that. You're right. And it wasn't until, like I said, a dude came into my life who was, willing to love me where I was at, which is incredible because that's exactly what Jesus does too. It's not this expectation. I heard a pastor this last week on KNKT talking about this, where when a child is born into the world, they're a baby. They can't take care of themselves. They can't feed themselves. They can't clothe themselves. They can't change their own diaper. They are babies.
Yeah.
Brody right now is 8 months old. He is a baby, and he's got a fever. And last night, I was up all night with this little dude just praying over him and rocking him and holding him. And my wife and we're taking turns just trying to love on this dude who couldn't take care of himself and was in so much pain last night. Well, the funny thing is when someone gives their life to Christ, it's this rebirth. They are born again, and yet we immediately think, well, you're a Christian now, so you obviously have to be able to walk, and you have to be able to talk by yourself, and you have to be able to understand everything in Scripture right now as a new Christian.
Yeah.
When they're babies, man. Yeah. They're spiritual babies in need of nurture and care, and I was a baby. And I had friends around me who loved me enough to, tell me, like, hey, man, do you really think you should be doing these things? Yet they still love me enough to bring me alongside them and really grow and cultivate this great relationship. And I think that's part of it. A lot of times there are people who just want to stay away from church because all they think about is the people are going to judge them. They're going to say horrible things about the way their lives are. They're not going to care for them. There's no love. CNN had an article a couple weeks ago about that right now the church, the millennials, why they're not are wanting to be in church, not wanting to be a part of it, isn't because it's not cool. It's because Jesus isn't there, because we're putting on this facade. We're being fake about it, when really we're just, people are hungry for truth. And if you're real and you're honest and you're loving, I think it's leaps and bounds, you know. And unfortunately, as a father, you might not be the one that impacts your boys as much as you want to be that person. For me and my brother, I was not the one. Yeah. I was not the one that drew my brother to Christ as much as I wanted to, because there's something about a brother or a sister or a parent, and you just don't want to listen to your family members. And so maybe this dad just needs to pray that God would bring the right person into his boys' lives that can...
Yeah, you know, another good option, I think, is getting them to come to something to get their foot in the door. You know, sometimes they won't come to church, but they come to an event. So, like, let me just give you a, for instance, we're doing an event in October, on October 31st, at the local theater, called Rise from the Grave Zombie Concert. And we're telling people to come dressed up in their best zombie costumes. Mm-hmm. We're having a concert with The Almost and Archibald. And, we're gonna have just an incredible, awesome, fun night, just rocking out. And again, it's kind of an age-appropriate event, but we're gonna have just a really good time. And hopefully appeal to a lot of secular people, people that normally wouldn't come to church. And then once they get there, we're going to spring the gospel on them and preach the gospel to them. And really just talk to the fact that they're dead in sin, in the same way that a zombie is a walking dead. You know, they're walking dead, they're dead in sin. And so, you know, we're going to really do this really cool event and then, you know, bring the gospel into it. And something like that is a great place to get your foot in the door, because someone would come there and come to this concert at the Lobo Theater and say, wow, that was really cool. And then when they hear, oh, there's a church that meets here and it's not too different than this, you know, it surprises them, because they expect a church to be with stained glass and have this fake weird feeling of judgment. And when they realize that it's not that, then they're more inclined to check it out, you know, another time. So, you know, events like that are a good way to get people's feet in the door. Or again, just inviting them to something that is different. Say, hey, will you go to church with me at the Lobo Theater? You know, that's, it's a different place. It's not like a normal church. So
I would like to ask the body of Christ at large to be praying for this next generation, for the different ministries around the city that are doing things. It's interesting to me right now. I'm seeing a rash of I don't want to say backlash, but we get awesome emails regularly, and we also get the what are you guys doing? This obviously isn't Christian. And I would like to ask for prayer for the different ministries. This is a big event going down October 31st. I'm really excited about what's happening. But be praying. Maybe this isn't something that necessarily you're like into. Maybe you don't agree. Maybe so pray that God would be in it. Pray that
yes.
God would use it for his glory, because we are all part of the same body of Christ. And it's unreal to me to see the division these days
yeah.
of whether it's different generations, different denominations. And it can get frustrating to see, man, I get it. We're not speaking to the same crowd, but guess what? God is using us to impact the lives of this crowd, this generation, this audience, this whoever. And maybe it's not the same audience for you. Maybe it's a different
yeah.
audience, but guess what? God's still going to use you in that area. That's why for me, if somebody's not down with, you know, maybe the speech of Shock Therapy Live, with the way things are done on static radio, with the culture of Renovate and the strobe lights and the flash,
yeah.
you know what? Right on. Then you go where God is leading you, and you reach out to the people God is calling you to reach out to.
Yeah, and I would just say be very careful too, because just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean that it's wrong.
Right.
You know, and I think that we have to be really careful and differentiate that, because I think
Absolutely.
A lot of times people think if I don't agree with it, it makes it wrong. You know, when it comes to music that's played or the kind of songs that are played, you know, there's been great movements of Christ where people disagreed with what they were doing. A lot of the modern hymns we sing today were originally songs that were put to bar tunes. And when Martin Luther did that, he was scorned and he was ridiculed for it. And the Christians said that you can't sing a song that is in this tempo or in this key because that's
right.
an ungodly song. When Salvation Army started, a lot of the songs that came from that movement, people thought that it was a young devil movement. They thought that it was a horrible thing, and God did great things through that. When Maranatha started, and when Chuck Smith started doing Calvary in Costa Mesa,
yep.
people were horrified that you let barefoot hippies in with long hair to sit in church, and that you sang songs that had, you know, God forbid, guitar in it and drums in it, because those were the devil's instruments, and that was rock music. And you had these bands that were coming out, and you had this movement of the Holy Spirit. And anytime that there's something that we are scared of, something that we're not familiar with, we automatically call it wrong.
Right.
So if I'm not familiar with that, or if I've never seen that, or that's new, it must be wrong.
Right.
You know, and so I think that we need to be really careful by saying that if we don't like something or if we don't agree with something, it's wrong. And that's
right.
not the case. Just because we don't like it or we don't agree with it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means we don't like it.
Right.
And so,
right.
you know, we've got to be careful with that. And we've got to be careful for where we cast the first stone and make sure to always look at the plank in our own eye before we take the speck out of someone else's.
Yeah.
So I think it's always good to look inside before we look outside. And before you cast that first stone, you know, so one thing I'll often do when I get emails of people saying, why do you do this? This is ungodly. I'll just respond back, tell me why it's ungodly. You know, give
right.
me Bible verses that show me that this is ungodly and that we shouldn't do this. Show me a Bible verse where it says, thou shalt not have haze and moving lights.
Right.
You know, I think that if you were to go into the temple, around the time of sacrifice season, there'd be a lot of smoke or haze from all the burnt offerings. You know, it says that they sang loudly inside the temple. And I'm sure that the dB level inside that temple, when you had a bunch of trumpets and shofars and people screaming and singing, was
yeah.
pretty dang loud. You know, so I think it's really careful. We got to be careful when we label something ungodly or sinful when it really can't be sinful. You know, if you're at a church and people are shouting down the F-bomb from the pulpit or from the stage and you know they're singing like, you know, crazy songs from the stage in the worship set, that's a different story. But
yeah.
you know, you gotta look at the heart behind what someone's doing. You gotta look at the actual biblical mindset behind it and say, is this really wrong or do I just not like it?
Yeah, think of when the Holy Spirit came upon new believer at the beginning, when the Holy Spirit came down upon and fired this fiery tongue fill and boom, boom, boom on their heads, and they start speaking out and it's loud and it's crazy and people are walking by like, dude, these guys are drunk.
Yeah.
These guys are crazy. And then others are like, dude, that guy's speaking my language. And everybody's like speaking in tongues and it's like this crazy moment. I'm sure there were a lot of people that were wigged out by what was happening.
Yeah.
That was called the movement of God, the Holy Spirit falling upon his people. And people were weirded out,
yeah.
freaked out, nervous by it, didn't know. But it was those outside of God who were freaked out by it. It wasn't those that
yeah.
were actually... Being indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
And there was
Spirit.
A lot of people that disagreed and thought that Jesus was doing crazy things that he shouldn't do. And
yeah.
those people were called the Pharisees. And he didn't have great things to say about those people. And, you know, I think it's very interesting that the people who often have the hardest time with a new movement of God, the people who often disagree and dissent to the movement of God the most are those who are the religious people of the day. Those who are entrenched in religion, those who are entrenched in the way things have always been. Those are the people that... oftentimes have the hardest time with the new movement of God. And so, you know, I think that's, again, that's a question you always need to ask. Do I not like this because it's wrong, or do I not like this because it's just not my preference or it's not my taste?
Yeah.
And if you don't like it because it's not your preference or your taste, then in that situation, you need to, pray about your heart and your motives behind it and, you know, try to come up with a better solution.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I've been digging in this week into Romans, and I got to chapter 15 yesterday, and it was perfect timing for me because, we are called still, those of us who maybe are talking about, man, I love this. I'm dug in here and I love the experience and I love what's going on over here. We also have to keep in mind, chapter 15 of Romans starts off and says, man, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. So on the flip side of that, to all of this next generation who is just stoked and on fire, don't let people hinder you by what God has called you to do. But at the same time, there is a respectful way to go about conversating over these things. Because, man, I'll tell you what, it's interesting to see the division right now. And it seems like it's a generational division of what's going on. On the flip side, I would challenge anybody to pick up their Bible and read Matthew chapter 23. It's the seven woes to the scribes and Pharisees, and it's something I've also been reading recently, just as a heart check for me. Yeah. Like, all right, Lord, these are those woes that you have thrown out there to the scribes and the Pharisees, and I absolutely do not want to be one of those people. Am I doing what I'm called to do? Dude, Matthew chapter 23, read it. And then maybe go pick up Romans 14 and Romans 15, and we can all go sing Kumbaya with a strobe light. Or not. Whatever.
You know, it's so funny, but just, I got to go on a little rant for a second.
Go for it.
I always get these emails that like, why do you use strobe lights and lasers? And my,
because we're hypnotizing you.
My response is always, we don't have strobe lights or lasers. But someone sees a light and they automatically associate with lasers. Mm-hmm. Why do you have lasers? And they see like a light that is like shining up in the thing and it turns off for a second and then it turns back on. Strobe lights. You know, it's so funny what people associate with a light. You know, one of the things I always love my dad says about those lights, moving lights or colored lights and haze, is it's modern day stained glass. Yeah. You know, back in the day when they would go into these big churches, it was beautiful. You'd have the light rays shining through these stained glass windows and you'd have the color and you'd have this beautiful majesty. You know, we don't have the money nowadays to build churches like that. Right. Those churches were crazy, crazy expensive to build those giant, beautiful churches. So now we use the modern technology we have and we create this environment of worship with the color and the lights by using modern technology and by using what God's given us today. And that comes by the way of televisions, projectors, lights, and haze. Yeah. And so, you know, I always think it's funny when someone calls that ungodly or worldly. It's like, what makes that ungodly or worldly, you know?
Man, whatever you do, whether food or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. I think about worship and how certain people worship. I remember the first time I saw the Jesus painter and it was like on stage and I was like, this dude is worshiping with his art, with his painting, with whatever is going on. Whatever you do, whatever God has gifted you in, whatever area it is, do it to the glory of God. And I think a lot of times we see somebody like, they're doing sign language in worship. What is that about? That's weird because I don't do that. They're doing – it could be anything. Yeah. I mean, I think of musical instruments in general because there's still denominations that won't use musical instruments or clapping your hands or raising your hands or, yeah, but I don't want to do that because I'm drawing attention to myself.
Yeah.
What if that's how that person worships? What if that's – they're lifting their arms in praise and adoration? David said, I will get even more undignified than that. I'm going to like throw down for Jesus. I love my God. I'm going to worship my God and I'm going to dance around. I'm going to get crazy.
And I think too, understanding the reason why we do that, you know, the reason why we raise our hands isn't because it like gets us closer to Jesus. Like, I'm going to touch you. I'm going to get you.
Right.
You know, the reason we do it, it's a sign of surrender. You know, if someone comes up and says, hey, this is a robbery, put your hands up. You put your hands up because it's a sign of surrender. If they put a sword up, you put your hands up. We come to the presence of God. We raise our hands because it's a sign of surrender. It's a sign that, man, I'm surrendered to you. I belong to you. Here's all of me. Or when people bow down, that's a sign of honor to a king. You know, if someone comes into the presence of a king, they bow down and no one says, hey, don't do that. You're drawing attention to yourself. No,
right.
Do that because you're in the presence of the king, you know? So I think that in that moment, bowing down or raising your hands, it's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of honor for our Lord. And when we clap, you know, again, I think this mindset that in every other area of life, except for the church, these things are okay. And then you go to the church like, oh, you don't do that. You know, if you see someone do a great job at a symphony orchestra and they do a phenomenal job playing their cello, you clap for them afterwards. Right. Hey, good job. When we come in the presence of God, we recognize all our God has done for us, all the Lord is doing, and we clap because, mm-hmm. man, we're excited. We're passionate about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And so all these things that people have a hard time with, there's a reason behind them. And the reason isn't because we want to be like the world. The reason is because, you know, for instance, when I talk about haze and lights and all these things, it's because I believe worship is a sensory experience. I believe worship isn't something that's just done by singing a song. Right. I believe worship should engage every sense of the human body. And so it should engage not just your ears, but it should engage your eyes, your mind. It should engage, the atmosphere, the way the room feels plays a part in worship. It's too hot. People can't worship. They get too hot. You know, every little thing about coming into a worship experience plays an effect within how people worship. And we want to minimize those things. We want to make sure that someone's completely engaged into that worship experience. You know, even when we talk about dimming the lights, a lot of people say, well, why do you dim the lights? I want to see the people that are around me. The truth is that the statistics are most people are less inclined to engage into the act of worship if they can see the people around them and know that people can see them. They don't want to be seen. Same idea with volume level. It's been studied that the majority of people won't sing unless the dB level passes a certain point to where they don't hear themselves. People don't want to hear themselves when they sing, you know. So there's the thing that you find is this is mostly found within a generational gap. And it's because people past a certain age are used to going to a church where there was really just a choir and there wasn't speakers and there wasn't volume and it was just sung a cappella and you kind of sang hymns from a book. Yeah. And that was worship to them.
Which is interesting because, as we mentioned, at one point those hymns were the quote unquote evil music in the church.
Yeah.
You're using bar tunes. How dare you? And now it's like, please turn to page 413. We'll be singing I'll Fly Away.
Yeah. And so there's a generational gap because it's just how people were brought up, how they were raised. This is what in their mind normal worship should be. And they'll experience and they'll accept some change up to a certain extent, but if you try to change too much, they freak out about it. And I just always encourage those older folks, man, you've walked with God for a long time and you recognize the value of a life lived for Christ. Recognize the reason we're doing this isn't to try to push you away. The reason we're doing this is try to draw in a younger generation in the same way you were drawn in when you were young. And so, if it causes you to go somewhere else, then the Lord bless you, but we pray that you'll stick around and you'll support what God's doing in a new generation and recognize that this is a needed change. So,
absolutely. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700 if you'd like to be a part of Shock Therapy Live. We got to take a quick break. Speaking of rad worship experiences, the City Harmonic.
Dude,
gonna be coming.
It's gonna be fun, man.
We just rocked the digital age. A lot of really great worship shows coming, so make sure you keep it locked to mystaticradio.com as the details come forward. But be ready.
Dude,
City Harmonic.
It's gonna be a blast.
One of the raddest worship bands around.
City Harmonic in September, then in October we've got the Almost rocking out the Zombie concert at the Lobo, and you know, just a lot of fun things. We've also got Benjamin Dunn coming in, which is gonna be a great show.
Dude, right? We play them monstrously. I love him.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
Good.
He's a good man. Yeah, a lot
good
of great
times.
Shows. Keep it locked. MyStaticRadio.com for details on that. We got to take a quick break. Coming back, your questions. Studio@MyStaticRadio.com. Or, of course, chime in on the conversation. Maybe you just have some insight. You've got some thought about worship or what's going on in Christian culture these days.
Yeah.
Feel free. Chime in. 505-338-3700. Be right back with more Shock Therapy Live.
This is The Wire.
Hey, this is Anastasia, letting you know about an awesome way for you to be a big help to some families in need. Christian Fellowship Church in Albuquerque is throwing a backpack barbecue. They'll be collecting school supplies and backpacks for the upcoming school year. Join them on August 17th for a free hot dog barbecue from 6 to 8 at the church. Kids in need who already have backpacks can come have them filled with school supplies for the upcoming year. Along with this amazing event, Christian Fellowship Church will also be collecting funds to donate to the Moore, Oklahoma School District. If you'd like to donate supplies or funds, find more information on the community calendar at mystaticradio.com.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mystaticradio.com.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
The Jews answered him and said to him, "What sign do you show to us?" You know, he just showed him one. since you do these things? Now, this is a natural question for them to ask. Jesus just interfered with their whole sacrificial system, stopping the animal sacrifices. It was the very heart of their nation. This would be the equivalent of Billy Graham walking into a church and walking up to the pulpit and shredding a King James Bible. Can you imagine that?
Whoa!
He just stopped their sacrifices. Now, they are challenging his authority. They want a sign. They want something further. And the reason they're challenging Jesus' authority is because Jesus just sidestepped their authority. He didn't go to them first. He didn't get permission. He just walked right into the temple and cleaned house.
Call 1-800-922-1888 for a free teaching by Skip Heitzig. Or hear more when you visit skipheitzig.com/hotspots.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Well, all right.
Dude, we just got an email literally calling something a scheme. I've never seen that. People are like, hey, we want to invite you to a new opportunity.
Yeah.
They say, this guy literally says, we are a group of volunteers and starting a new scheme in our community.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about bad word choices.
Yeah.
Whoever your PR person is, fire them.
Yeah. Wow. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's the emails that we're getting this morning.
Yeah.
That's the email.
Yeah, we're getting Microsoft Outlook mails, like junk mail. A problem occurred during the delivery of this message emails.
Oh, that's not good.
Come talk to us.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, or you can give us a call, 505-338-3700, the phone number. We got a phone line open, and we're going to take a call right now, actually. Static.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fantastic.
Tired.
Right on. Oh, tired. Okay, well, great opener for the show. As a former worship leader, I just wanted to make a comment in regards to, you know, that whole thing. I actually was a product of being judged for the type of worship that I was presenting. And because I'm old, let's face it, I'm an old woman. compared to y'all and Renovate and that whole thing, the college ministry. But you know what? It's all about reaching the generation and, you know, the younger generations. Hope is in our kids, okay? And we have to be able to reach people however we can reach them. And, you know, music was huge in facilitating my coming to Christ. And I just want to say that, you know, Psalm 98:4 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So, you know, who cares how you make the loud noise or with what instruments you make it with? And who cares if, you know, there's a church that, you know, uses this instead of that or preaches out of King James versus NIV? I mean, it's all about, you know, being, I don't know, I just really believe that for people to be judgmental like that, I mean, I can say that I actually was part of that. I know what that feels like to be judged because, you know, oh, and I was actually told by somebody older than myself, oh, well, I believe that worship music should just be, you know, like hymns or this or that. I don't think worship music should be rock, you know. And it was like, really? I mean, okay. But you know, but I still did that worship music. So I still went against the grain. I mean, I was going against the grain, in other words. But the point is this. People got saved because of that. People came to me and said, will you make me CDs? People, you know, were like, I never knew worship music sounded like this. Yeah. I thought it was old and boring. You know, and really so did I before I became a Christian. Because I grew up in the Catholic Church where it was hymns, and I didn't know half the music they were singing or playing, and I fell asleep half the times on Easter and Christmas when I went. So, you know, music was, like, boring for me, and I'm a musician. So, you know, we have to reach the generations however we have to reach them.
Yeah.
And it does not matter what what we're playing or how we're playing it. As long as we are serving the Lord, that's all that matters.
You know, and I think it's important, too, to recognize the scary trend. And the trend, I read this in a book called The Things They Don't Teach You in Seminary, and that is that the trend of the church is to trend towards extinction, and that if left to its own devices, every church will eventually just die.
Yeah.
And the scary trend today is that young people are leaving the church in droves. And what's going to happen is if we don't intentionally try to reach this younger generation and fill the church up with an influx to where there's more young people than there are old people, if we don't do that, what's going to happen is the older generation is going to die.
Yeah.
And then there's not going to be a church anymore, because the church will be so full of an older generation that when that older generation passes, the church will just die. And so that's why it's so important to intentionally try to target the youth and reach out to them more than any other group, because if you don't, your church will go extinct.
Yeah, a staggering statistic I read last week was these are kids who are brought up in youth, kids who are brought up in a youth group. These are quote unquote Christian kids brought up in youth group. By the time they reach college level, at the end of high school, less than 4% of those kids transitioning from high school to college will stay strong in either a Christian relationship or even continue to attend church. And I think maybe it's partially they're going out on their own, so now they're not under their parents' household, so that, you know, maybe they want to do something on their own. Less than 4%. And that freaked me out, man, thinking about that. Less than 4% of people. We're talking like, you know, mid-high high school ministries here at Calvary Campus, and taking a look at numbers or whatever, you know, then you think about those that are going to transition over to, say, a renovate, like a college ministry. And according to statistics nationally, just in American culture, less than 4%.
You know, another scary statistic is it's not just young people. I was reading a statistic that the average retention rate for a church retaining new people is less than 10%. So less than 10%. If you've got, you know, 10 new people that come to your church, there's a chance that not even one of them will come back.
Yeah.
So that's a scary retention rate for new people. So evidently the church, by and large, isn't doing a good job, one, reaching youth, and two, appealing to new people that come to their church.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, that means that we have to change something. If we don't change something, then the church will die.
Yeah. Sadly, it's as we're talking about this divide, we keep mentioning the generational divide. I immediately thought of 1 Peter chapter 5, talking about the flock of God. And it says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, not just the young. We're talking elders. We're talking youth. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And I think, unfortunately, we get this. I still consider myself of the younger mindset, the younger generation.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, as the worship leader at my church, if it's how come you guys don't play this anymore? I really want to hear "I'll Fly Away." There are times where I want to fire back and go, "You know what? Because," and then I have to pray about it and think about it and go, "You know what? Let's liven this up. Let's rock some." And in fact, recently we did just that. "I'll Fly Away." This last week we actually did "Just As I Am," but we did it more, modern post to Dustin Kinstrew from Thrice. He did this new revamped version of it, and we did that. And guess what? Everyone was worshiping because the older generation knew the song and the younger generation loved the driving bass line that we had in it, you know.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's so funny. We actually do the same thing. We actually have in every worship set we do, every weekend, we always incorporate one hymn, because it is, you know, we want to respect and honor, you know, the laurels that we're truly riding on, that the forefathers, you know, really had a huge part in as far as the kind of music that was played and the hymns were written. So we'll always try to incorporate a hymn, not only, you know, to respect and honor our past, but also because an older generation does like that. And so we try to pick a mix of songs that everyone will enjoy.
Absolutely. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live, 505-338-3700, the phone number. Email us.
We got an email question. It's actually for you, because I can't answer this question.
Okay.
This is your question.
Okay.
"Thank you for Shock Therapy Live. I appreciate your boldness to confront real issues that the church tends to shy away from. My question is regarding culture shock.
Okay.
I admit, I am stumbled when I hear music played on a Christian radio station by bands that do not profess Christ. Some of your recent selections, Incubus for example, are hard for me to accept because though the song you play could have a religious interpretation, there are other songs by this band that are laced with profanities and things that don't glorify the Lord. In good conscience, I wouldn't purchase their albums because of the disrespectful language and media presence the band has. I would simply like to understand the criteria by which a song is chosen for culture shock, as well as your opinion why they should be played on your station.
Yeah, great question. Thanks for the call. As the program director and music director of Static Radio, that's one thing that I'm very big on. Obviously, yeah. It seems like the theme this morning has been music, and music can speak to anyone. It's universal. You go to a rock show, you go to a worship concert, it doesn't matter where you go, people line up and we hang out and we love music. Well, music in and of itself is universal. I was having a conversation yesterday actually with Matt Lott from House of Heroes, who was talking about this, and he actually gets stumbled the opposite way, if you will, because he gets frustrated when people say, oh, this is Christian music. This is Christian music. Mainly because he's in the Christian community. He is in a band that is on a quote-unquote on a Christian label. He is in a Christian band, and we as Christians have labeled that as such. And we need to be careful both ways, because I think a lot of times we hear music and say, well, this is obviously not Christian music, so I can't listen to this. Or we say, man, this is obviously Christian music, so this is acceptable. And we put a stamp of approval on something when we don't know how these people are living their lives. We don't know the motivation behind the song. What we know is, well, this is stamped as Christian, so it must be okay. Never mind the fact that you talk to someone like Dan Hasseltine, the lead singer of Jars of Clay, and say, man, I remember a conversation we had where we were talking about worship music, and dude, it's trending. Why? Hey, Dan, why do you think it is that worship music is so popular right now? And the sad truth answer that he gave, which was amazing, and I love him for always being honest, is because there's a lot of money in worship music right now. All you have to do is coin it and say, man, this is modern worship, this is great, and the church will eat it up without even thinking about it because it's stamped as quote-unquote acceptable for Christ, acceptable for Christians. So this is Jesus approved, so now you... And the big question is, why do we do that? To respond to your Shock Therapy Live culture shock question, I immediately go to Acts chapter 17. And, in fact, there's a worship song written, by Cutlass, and it's called Finding Who We Are. And the chorus says, in him we live in. Do you remember that song? Chapter 17, verse 28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. And there's a worship song about it, and people eat that up. In fact, I know plenty of churches where it's like that's their like quote-unquote motto, that's their tag, is in him we live, move, and have our being. But if you continue in the verse, it says, in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. In fact, that comes from Epimenides of Crete. He was a pagan poet. He wrote, in him we live and move and have our being, and that was written to Zeus. That wasn't written for Jesus Christ. That wasn't written for his glory. Or was it? Because Paul used it for his glory. Paul took a modern poet of the time and was able to relate that, those words that the people would have understood at that time in that culture, and said, hey, your poet has said this, and guess what? They're spot on in one regard, because in him we do live, in him we do move, in him we do have our being, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so the purpose of culture shock is simply taking a modern poet, a poet of our time, and saying, hey, these are the words that are spoken. In fact, that song specifically, Pardon Me by Incubus, was given to us by a listener who said, this song moves me because it says, pardon me while I burst into flames. And I think about when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you can do nothing more than shout the glory of Jesus. And there's an incredible line in there that a listener who sent us that song and said, dude, these are the lyrics. This is how it speaks to my soul. And it's amazing that God has used that song for his glory to the specific listener. Now, I know you said that certain songs, and that song in particular, causes you to stumble. if that's a stumbling block in your life, if listening to Incubus reminds you of a time when you were, you know, smoking weed or when you were doing something you shouldn't have done, then by all means, don't listen to that song. But that is not the purpose behind it. And I think music being this universal language of whatever, being music,
yeah,
we have labeled it good and bad and said this is quote-unquote secular, this is quote-unquote Christian, when those lines ought not to be there, because I'll tell you what, there are plenty of people who consider themselves Christian artists, who are in Christian bands, who are not living Christian lifestyles, yeah, who are not doing it for the glory of God, whose motivations are not pure. And it's no different than any other artist who's writing a song for whatever purpose, to be able to use those lyrics for the glory of Jesus Christ and say that. And let me be honest, we're very intentional with every single Culture Shock
now,
we play.
Now let me play a devil's advocate here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she says, I would like to understand the criteria by which a song is chosen for Culture Shock. So what's the criteria for choosing a song? Are there certain artists that you'll say, no, we won't play? Like, what if there's a song, like, let's say Marilyn Manson has a song and it's got the lyrics like, man, that could really be interpreted as a Christian song. Is that song acceptable for Culture Shock? What's the criteria? At what point is the line drawn?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because we've had to tackle that in the past. Somebody sent in a song by a band called Tool. Maynard James Keenan, the frontman of Tool and A Perfect Circle, is very anti, and a lot of his lyrics are so hateful. In fact, the song that was sent in, if you take a look at all of the lyrics and know what he's trying to say in his poetry, it's very hurtful toward Jesus Christ, not uplifting. And that was one where we prayed about it and talked about it and decided, you know what, man, that's not something we want to play, because you're right. There does have to be a criteria. We don't just flippantly go, dude, you know it's a great song? I love that song by Muse. Let's do that. Oh, you know who's a great band? Foo Fighters. They're one of my favorites. Let's play Times Like These. All of us can relate to a time in our life where something has been just destroyed, where a relationship has been pooped on, where we've had bad situations, where we've lost a job, where it's times like these where we have to learn to live and we have to learn to love, and we've been hurt, we've been wronged, and that song speaks to that. We've all had those times, but through Jesus Christ, through his grace, we've been able to overcome those situations. And so a song like Times Like These, Foo Fighters, there's a purpose behind it. There's a purpose behind everything we do. And so I think that's why I tend to get a little frustrated, not with this email. This is a fantastic email, but it's not the first one this week where it's been said very differently. You played a U2 song yesterday? Obviously, that's not Christian. How dare you? Blah, 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 blah. When, as we're talking about whether it's worship at Calvary or a song being played on the air, you don't know the motivation behind it. And to slam it and to say, this is obviously not of God, you better be very, very careful before you make that statement.
And now Static has a resource as well that kind of talks about why each song, if there's a Culture Shock song, is being played, correct? What's that
Absolutely.
Resource?
Absolutely. MyStaticRadio.com/Culture Shock. Every single song we have in Culture Shock rotation is posted at our website. We actually post every single lyric of the song. We also post something called The Spark. Now, whether it's through one of us or through a listener who was given the song and said, this is the scripture reference I thought of, this is what it means to me. Excuse me. This is what it means to me. You can go there. You can check it out. Every single song, there's a purpose for it.
Yeah,
nothing's done flippantly.
Yeah. And so, you know, I would just, I love that concept again about what Paul did, about using the concept, of a, you know, famous poet talking about Zeus, and he used that within his expositional preaching.
Yeah.
I think that's a great concept, because again, we're using modern poets and we're telling them, hey, you're partway right, but this is what it really means. And, you know, this is the real truth. And
yeah, absolutely. As we're talking specifically to Incubus, pardon me while I burst, one of the lyrics. And so here's what it says actually on our website that you can check out for yourself. In fact, you can discuss. There's a little place for you to discuss the song, what it means to you, what you'd like to say. And we encourage discussion. Get out there and talk about it. That's one of the things we want, is to encourage people to think for themselves, to discuss things for themselves. But, Luke 24 verse 32 says, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? This idea of burning in our flesh and our being as God pulls back the veil, as scripture is revealed to us, as we realize that we are fallen, we are sinners, and we are in need of a savior. I love that. And Our listener friend Nico said, when one begins to meet Jesus in the Word, there's often a strong sensation of love and power that is overwhelming. The two persons in Luke 24 describe the sensation as a sort of burning in their hearts. When full of this zeal for the things of Christ, we find ourselves no longer having time for the things of the world and its mindless games, but can only focus on what we can do next for His kingdom and for others. So pardon me while I burst. The chorus says, pardon me while I burst into flames. I've had enough of the world and its people's mindless games. So pardon me while I burn and rise above the flame. Pardon me, I'll never be the same. And it's just so when Christ overtakes our life. And so we will absolutely continue to have culture shock. We will absolutely continue to use these words to glorify Jesus because, man, if that doesn't speak to a burning passion and a zeal for a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't know what does.
Amen.
That's just my opinion, though. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Let's take a call. Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I was actually the guy who just called a moment ago, but then, like, my phone decided to randomly lose service.
Oh, nice.
It made me quite sad.
I'm sorry.
First off, I love Incubus. I think they're a brilliant band. But all that set aside, I've called a couple times in the past. I even once talked about how my band were going undergoing a change. We're from technically Los Lunas, but we all play our shows in Albuquerque. All that aside, me and my new vocalist, he's going to be taking all the weight off of my shoulders, and I'm going to stick just to drums. We have definitely had a strong intention on taking our music more in a Christian route. Thus the new name of our band, and you might remember this, we decided to call ourselves I Am the Martyr. And even before then, when we were undergoing a different name, a lot of my lyrics used to be really dark, really self-loathing, really, really painful for the most part.
Yeah.
And I ended up taking a song that is labeled Dress Rehearsal for Hell. And that was the name, and the previous version of the song was definitely very dark, very... It was essentially like, you know, me talking about some of the darkest parts of my life, and then I ended up turning it around. I kept the name the same just because I thought it was a really powerful name. But one of the first lyrics in the song is, I purge my mind of these days where we all carved these lines into stone. And it's more like, it's more so talking about how our lives are essentially like, if depending on how we choose to live them, could be a dress rehearsal for hell. Yeah. You know, I mean, we like to pretend and imagine what we think hell could be like or what we think heaven could be like. And we try to make all these similarities. And I think in reality, we're without a clue. We're given ideas of it, but we don't truly know. We won't know for sure until then. And like, even towards like one of the very last couple lyrics, I actually decided to be a little lame and I ended up taking part of a church hymn. My eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. That one. And when I get to the glory, glory, hallelujah, for granted, I'm not singing in that melody. It's definitely, it's screaming and I'm screaming it towards the melody of our song, but like everything that I've like been writing lately, all of our music and like music that I listen to has definitely like, if it has that negative impact, I don't listen to it anymore.
Right.
A band that I've absolutely fallen in love with, which I have no
idea
why.
We have like 25 seconds, man. So I wanted to make sure you were able to get to your point, because we only have about 20 seconds left to show.
You guys should definitely play For Today.
For Today.
Absolutely a brilliant band. Without a doubt, one of the most Christian influenced groups out there, and they practice it and they live it.
There you go, man.
Look them up. I'll send you some of their music if I can.
Thank you. You'll so much.
Do,
all right.
Keep doing what you do.
Right on, man. Thank you so
Thank
much for the
you.
Call. Well, we are, sorry, I hate to cut people off. We are just about out of time. I wanted to make sure people understood what we're talking about. Music. It seemed like it was the theme of the day. You know, it's not just this in our culture right now. The Presbyterian Church USA, a couple weeks ago, We talked about this. They're actually currently rejecting In Christ Alone in their church.
Wow.
And so it's not something new. They say because of one line, quote, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. And they want to substitute as Jesus died, the love of God was magnified, because they don't like the word wrath in there, the wrath of God. And they wanted it to point more to love, because that's what they decided. Well, no, we don't want to say that God's got a wrath. So In Christ Alone, that's not biblically sound. We can't say that. So they've actually cut that from all of their hymnals. And so don't think that this conversation's over about music, because there's always going to be somebody who's not into something happening musically in the church. And first and foremost, we take it before the Lord. We pray about the motivations of our heart, why we're doing those things. And if for you, you're someone who just like, hey, man, you know, God bless you guys. I love what you're doing. It's not something I'm into. We understand that. We are called to reach a certain audience, and we're going to continue to reach out to that audience. And man, I'm so sorry if that's not you. But there's a lot of other great resources, a lot of other great radio stations that would probably fit your fancy a little better. And I think that's it. It's not a fighting, a bickering, and arguing. There are many different members of the same body of Christ. We got to remember what we're called to do, and that's preach the gospel.
Yep.
There you go.
Amen.
We out. We'll see you guys again next week. Big stuff coming Monday.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, just have to keep it locked here. Static Radio.
Peace.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.